All right, guys, welcome back to Finish the Movie Mashup, the episode 2, which is covering episode 3 of Game of Thrones.
Battle of Winterfell.
It was an amazing episode. It had everything you needed. It had death of some of your side characters, the finishing of some of their stories. It had... fights between dragons. It had fight between the Walking Dead and the Unsullied, the Dothraki. It had fire. It had surprises with Melisandre coming back and protecting Winterfell. It even had deaths of some of your more prominent characters, like right. Jorah. This episode was nothing but amazing. Like we said before, this is a spoiler full episode of Game of Thrones, episode 3.
For some, their night's watch has ended. I will say, because I'm sure there are a lot of trolls on the internet doing this, that, or the other. Yes, we could not see through large portions of the beginning of the battle, but both Mike and I agreed that was for a sense of realism, which is very similar to the Battle of the Bastards, where the Game of Thrones directorial crew had opted for a sense of realism as opposed to the more whimsical fantasy styles like we've seen in Battle of Helm's Deep. So if you're thinking about this time period where there's no electricity, one, there's a reason why you don't fight at night. Two, they're an army of the undead. So to add to that
suspense,
and to that realism, you are charging into the void of the unknown. A horde of darkness is coming towards you. Remember, they're stamping out the light. So to add to that realism, now try to put yourself in that flank, in those lines. Like, that would have been absolutely terrifying.
I thought it was amazing in the sense of Melisandre came out of nowhere, lit up the swords of the Dothraki, and what happens? They charge into battle.
And we're extinguished.
With Jorah.
And Ghost.
And Ghost, where we don't know what actually happened
to Ghost. Ghost is not part. I refuse to believe. We have not seen it. So Ghost is not still dead. Alive. Ghost is alive somewhere.
We didn't see... We're going by the note of you didn't see the death, it never happened. Mm-hmm. So with that stated, like there was a handful of Dothraki that made it through, that came back and retreated, but all those flames were extinguished.
Like within
seconds. And that was like within the first 20 minutes of this episode, we got to see basically that Dothraki army that truly was unstoppable throughout the majority of the show.
I mean, the only thing that could have made the Dothraki being extinguished, and this is covering a huge, an overarching theme that we'll discuss throughout this pod, but the only thing that could have made that more dramatic would be Pippin to come out and to serenade us with that song, that sad ass song that he sings while Faramir is charging into battle and trying to impress his father. If you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, what's your problem? You probably
now,
haven't seen this
now
episode.
The biggest thing is I do want to put this in the middle of just because it's a movie versus a television show. Everybody said this was going to be better than Helm's Deep. I'm sorry, it's not. That the Helm's Deep, the way they filmed the battle and how that castle was, just made that battle that much better. But if we're talking about more realistic version of a battle, Battle of Winterfell, right, nailed it. Like, think about this. You have these zombies. You get the first horde come through. You finally get Melisandre. She sets ablaze the line. The Night King comes in and says, all right, y'all come through. they come through and they pile up like Day-Z. Like, it's legitimate. It's legitimate. World War Z. Like, they legitimately
piled up like Jay-Z.
No. Like, World War Z, like, they piled up on top of each other to get on top of the castle. They did exactly what should have been an army of an undead.
Well, I agree with you. Battle of Winterfell versus the Battle of Helm's Deep, or what's it called? The battle in Return of the King, which the name escapes me. But I agree. Battle of Winterfell was more realistic. But what I will say is, the Gott crew came into the game with shackles. And you'll see that throughout in this episode. So spoiler alert, the Night King is vanquished. So, which we knew something would have to happen. I'm not going to lie. I mean, at one point, Mike and I were watching the episode and we're like, crap. Like,
everyone's going to die.
Everyone's going to die. And we're like, what was predicted would happen? We're going to reset all of this all over again. When those events did not happen, because I don't want to cover just yet what defeated the Night King, I was like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. So the angle that they took was Cersei will have the men. Cersei will have the army, but Dany, Jon, and crew will have the leadership. Which, if you're not going against the battle, if you're not going against the undead, they have the upper hand because they have the experienced leadership. Whoever and the folklore, because they will have lived, they'll be able to garner more troops on their way to vanquish Cersei. And the reason why we come to this conclusion is because Lady Brienne lived. Jaime lived. Potluck lived. Podrick
lived. Sansa, Tyrion lived.
Tyrion. Grey Worm lived.
Arya. The Hound.
Gregaine. He lived. So, like, the experienced crew, which is Sam lived. All these people that at certain points looked like they had vanquished. Jon, Dany. Lived Danny's dragon,
the Unsullied.
Was it Dragon?
Yeah, the Unsullied leader.
Yeah. Grey Worm lived. So like all of these characters lived. I mean, at a couple of times it's kind of weird because it almost looked like they had fallen or that they did fall.
Like Sam lived through it. Like legitimately, Sam lived.
Sam spent most of his time on his back.
And I'm gonna be honest, like Sam, if he would have stayed in the keep, would have died. And Sam on the battlefield, the only reason he lived is because his brother from the Night's Watch saved him and died doing so. Sam was no different than if Tyrion was on the battlefield.
Yeah, I mean,
he was legitimately the, and Sansa makes a point of saying something in the keep that rings true. The reason why we're down here is we're useless. Right. We can't do anything up there.
The most heroic thing we can do is to stare that truth in the face and accept it. I mean, that was like bone chilling. To know that the only thing you're good at right now is to stay out of the way and have the courage to face that reality.
I also love this scene where Theon Greyjoy is fighting off the horde of White Walkers coming in to surround Bronn or Bran, and Bran just goes, I have to go now. And his eyes roll in the back of his head, the ravens start flying, and he finally sees the Night King. And that scene between Jon and the Night King and the Dragon Queen fighting for who is going to be the dragon, and like you see Jon's dragon just get torn up, and Daenerys comes in and takes down the Night King off his dragon, and then ultimately rips the dragon's throat. It was truly amazing. But Daenerys did some stupid stuff in this episode in the sense of she landed her dragon to let Jon go through. and kept it on the ground to let the White Walkers jump on top of it, which I found really stupid, which is the reason why Jorah ended up passing away during this fight.
Or she broke rank. She broke the line because she Jon had tried to tell her, like, hey, the battle is pursuing. We need to stop or we need to hold our ground. And she's like, well, no, you know, the knight's here, so let's go off. So they start riding off. If we do like kind of a summation of the beginning battle, the Dothraki charge in with the lead of Jorah. They're quickly suppressed, push back. The Unsullied hold the line. While the Unsullied and the Wildlings are holding the lines, let's first off talk about how all of the minorities of the Gott world, all the outsiders, those are the ones that were the fodder up front. Yes, they had the larger number, but they were the ones protecting the people of Westeros. So they start to push back. Jon and Dany on Drogon and Rhaegal are just spewing fire, trying to reap as much damage as possible. Somehow they never really explained it, but the horde of the unliving, the White Walkers, are accompanied by a snowstorm, which actually harshly dampers the dragon's visibility, their ability to play any effect, as would be expected. The lines break. Everybody retreats into Winterfell. They put up a fire border for a little bit that holds them back, but the Night King quickly uses his minions to kind of put out the flames and then charge on charge into Winterfell.
And once we get into the castle, first of all, Arya, # Darth Maul, like
# Legolas.
Yeah, like when she had that staff,
oh my god,
she was just brutally murdering people. But eventually she loses it.
Right, no matter how good of a swordsman you are,
it's a horde of people.
Yeah.
And like Jaime, and they're all truly killing off a lot of these, the horde of these, and they get down to a point where a giant finally breaks through the wall, and let's be honest, this was Lyanna, her scene of getting smashed down, but still coming to fight this giant and eventually taking the giant down.
Oh my gosh.
Her last part in this entire series is getting held up by a giant, getting crushed. The giant looks her in the eye. She doesn't even blink, then stabs him in the eye and kills him and dies herself. And eventually turns into a White Walker.
Right. So, spoiler alert for future things. But, yeah, I mean, if this was the Hunger Games, I mean, three fingers up in the air for House Mormont. One of the most underrated houses there. I mean, Jorah is Mormont. Lyanna Mormont, a child. Her uncle, who, you know, infamously was a Night Watch commander, arguably one of the most influential people to Sam and to Jon, really taught them the ropes, if you will, and to become the military might that is Jon right now. So that house, I mean, it has vanquished. It has fallen. I would have to say that this is the, aside from the Tarleys, which is Sam's house, he is a living heir, but House Mormont is no more.
But let's get down to the scene that everybody wanted. So you get Theon finally getting the words that he truly needed to finish his chapter in this whole fight.
He turned into Hawkeye, if you realize.
He is murdering forges these things, protecting Bronn. Bronn finally comes back. The Night King does show up at the tree. Bronn says, "Theon, you're a good man." Theon picks up a spear, charges at the Night King, looking like, you know what, this is my last act. The Night King breaks his spear, stabs him through the heart. Theon dies on the ground, and you have the Night King winning. The Night King slowly approaches Bronn. Bronn's just looking up like, it doesn't matter. Like, he legitimately has the three-eyed raven version of Bronn has no, like, he's already seen the Night King. He's already gone through this process.
We don't know what he did with the ravens. That's the thing that hasn't been explained at all.
First of all, after this, I'm hoping they explain more about the Night King, because we truly do not know what the Night King was and what his overall motivation was, other than let's take over the entire world. If that was his only motivation, okay, cool, normal bad guy. But I feel like there's more to his story, and I hope we end up hearing it. And we might end up hearing his story in the prequel that they're talking about, they're filming
at the
moment. So, but the Night King's there. He's standing over Bronn. And there, I'll bring you back to a scene that Arya finally escapes with the Hound into the keep with the Red Witch, and she says, "What do we do when we stare death in the eye?" And Arya turns off and starts running.
She goes, "Was it not today?"
Yeah, not today.
Not today, and runs.
Starts taking off. The Hound's like, What's going on? But she, the Red Witch said, "Brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes." And she goes, and we're like, okay, so she just ran. She's gone. She probably went after Cersei. She's not coming back. Turn back. The Night King's right there, standing over Bronn. Out of nowhere, Arya jumps up to go stab him. The Night King grabs her by the throat. We're like, okay, first of all, Arya, spectacular. Goat move right there. And when she does it, we think, okay, the Night King's still winning. He has her by the throat. What does she do? Arya, #only ninja in this whole series, drops the dagger, stabs him, kills the Night King. Arya, the person that started off the series as an 11-year-old girl child with the Hound, not knowing how to fight with her little sword, is a king slayer. She murdered a king, and not just any king, the Night King, the king of the undead.
Right. And this is the interesting thing. Was that scene shocking? Yes, because at one point you almost think Arya herself has met her timely demise. Like, this is how her story ends, and she doesn't get to check off all the names on her list. But then when she kills the king, the Night King, so she herself is a king slayer. So this actually made me really cut giddy for one or two reasons. One, she uses the dagger that was meant for Bran, her brother. She uses the dagger to dispose of the Night King, which I think is so fitting. That part was like, ooh, childlike giddiness. The other thing is, when this whole GOT campaigns first started, I had this silly notion where I thought that Arya would not be sitting on the throne, but that she would be the Lord Commander. Because her story arc, she's always wanted to be a soldier. She's like Lady Brienne in that aspect. So if you're thinking about who was the previous Lord Commander of the King's Guard, it was Jaime Lannister. Jaime Lannister has also killed a king. He was appointed under Robert Baratheon for the feat. So Arya has now done a similar fate or a similar feat as the previous.
But I feel like her... I'm sorry. I feel like her killing the Night King is so much more above any other Kingslayer.
But if you think about it, it's still the same thing. In the essence of... We do not know who the Night King is, but we do know what house he belongs to.
Targaryen.
He is a Targaryen. One of the big reveals of this episode was the fact that Dany, on top of Drogon, blows fire. And we knew one or two things. This would either vanquish the Night King, or it would confirm what some of us believe to be true, which is that the Night King was from the House Targaryen. Remember, the House Targaryen, we don't know what happened to them. All we know is that the Mad King was vanquished. But then even the house itself and where they come from was kind of held in mystery. Because the Grayscale, Grayscale is what apparently killed a lot of the Targaryens. Where we get the Dragonglass is from that area as well. So we know that he is Targaryen. Now, he was vanquished. So now all eyes are on Cersei. But that little, that distinction there, she's done the same feat. She has destroyed a Targaryen king.
And before we leave and start making our predictions on the Cersei battle, I want to bring up, like, ultimately what we saw here was, A, our predictions of everybody was going to die and Bronn was going to just revert back into the past, and therefore that's how the story changes. It was not true, not even close. But it also showed that these characters had built up over time and they have true depth. Arya had true depth. Jon was not the ultimate savior and almost got killed by his own dragon. But Jon did prove again he is truly a force to be reckoned with. Jaime proved that he's a force to be reckoned with. These people, they made it through this. They made it through the harshest battle. But now it's Cersei. Now it's the big one. Now it's the end of the fight. Who is going to take the throne? Or will there ever be a throne after this fight? And my first question that comes to mind, and I'm hoping it gets answered next episode, is does Jaime stay with the people he just protected and fought for? With Lady Brienne? Or does he go back to Cersei?
Right. If he goes back to Cersei, it's to kill her. That's it. Like, I mean, either Arya dressed up as Jaime or Jaime himself. I believe that is who will vanquish. It's just because Tyrion told Jaime, you knew who she was the entire time. She never fooled you. You just accepted what she was. And you loved her, and you loved her anyways. I mean, that I think to me that is true love. Knowing the faults of the person that you love and accepting it, that is true love. I don't think you can truly love somebody and say, "Oh, I didn't know that was that they were that kind of person."
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting. What happens next? Again, Jon and crew have a lot of commanders. Cersei has a lot of bodies. What's going to happen? What's something that I wish they would have done a better job of? And this is where the, you know, fantasy movie mashup comes into play. What I would have liked to have seen is the crypt scene. So that crypt scene, we all like you, the Starks never bury their dead or never burn their dead. So if you know what the Night King can do, you had a feeling that they were going to raise up the people in the crypt. What is very poignant in there is that Sansa and Tyrion
form an alliance. They form an alliance in that crypt. Sansa tells Tyrion, you know, you were the best husband I had. He acknowledges her wit for the statements that she makes, especially against Tyrion, because when she, the whole heroic monologue that she has, that is to combat Tyrion and his stances and his views. So that allegiance is bought, it's formed. I really would have wished, for the sake of, I don't know, I feel like got lost its got's charm. I think they're like, you know, we're coming to an end. We don't have enough time to develop new characters. So this whole notion that any character is expendable and can die at any moment, I think they're kind of retreated away from that, because the crypt would have been the perfect scene. I mean, there's so many key characters. Little Sam's in there. Gilly's in there. Varys is in there. Tyrion, Sansa, Grey Worm's significant other.
I feel like with 3 episodes left, you can't kill people off in the crypt at that point. Like, I feel like, again, my...
No, I would have loved everyone to have died except for Sansa and Tyrion. Like,
no, because I think Sam ends up getting a happy ending.
I don't know.
He's a tragic character altogether. His whole life is tragic. He's lost all his family. I think he ends up with a family. I think he does. But I also believe that you can't kill off Sansa or Tyrion, because I feel like, again, Tyrion will end up as the hand of whoever's on the Iron Throne. And I believe Sansa will end up the overall queen of the North. I think she takes over the entire North. I think that's how it ends up. If they do not die in the Cersei battle. And I don't think Sansa will even play a very big part in the Cersei battle. I think she will be just up north. The Jaime answer is going to be very hard. I believe Arya, she does travel. It would be very savage if Arya does kill Jaime and take his face. That I also believe there's consequences to if she does that. I believe there is consequences, because she knows the faceless man said that if you take faces of people that you're not supposed to,
right,
then there are consequences. And I think there will be a consequence if she does the Jaime thing, but I don't think she's going to do that. I actually think she's going to fight straight up. But I also believe the Jaime could end up going back to Cersei and then betraying her after. But I hope he actually just stays and fights the battle. And I hope, like, the Lady Brienne love happens. because she survived, which I thought she was going to die. I thought her story was over.
I mean, to your defense, in that episode, there are a couple of instances where I don't know if they depicted the violence properly enough, where it looked like, on a couple of instances, it looked like Lady Brienne had fallen like at least two times. It looked like Jaime had fallen at least one time. Sam, I mean, he fell more times than I can count.
All right. But coming to the end of episode, what is your predictions for the next episode?
The next episode, I believe it's going to be a dialogue episode. It's going to be situating, kind of licking our wounds, for instance, and digesting some of the facts that are some of the reveals of this previous episode. Again, the one that they haven't touched yet is Dany and Jon both know that the Night King was a Targaryen, and we still do not know what Bran did. Bran said, "I gotta go," and then took over Ravens, and they went out somewhere. We do not know what he did during the Battle of Winterfell.
So, I agree. Next episode will be very dialogue-ish. There's something about Bran and his powers, and I actually find this very funny, because there's an anime character that I find very similar to Bronn, which is from Naruto, Itachi Uchiha, who also used ravens.
Really?
But he used ravens in the way of actually causing legitimate, like, changes to the world. And the way he had those ravens go up behind the Night King, I feel like something from that scene is actually going to affect the next battle.
Oh, yeah, that is true. The other thing that I think is going to be revealed in this episode is everyone's favorite mercenary, Bronn of the Blackwater. I think he's going to show up. And he's been given orders to assassinate Tyrion. So in this next episode, we might see his choice and where it lies. And or we might see the demise of either Tyrion or, what I believe may happen, Jaime Lannister. I think Jaime will die
protecting Tyrion.
Protecting Tyrion.
Oh, and that's how Arya gets his face.
Correct. Because to kind of go back a little bit before this episode ends, when we say you cannot take a face, all we know is that from a taking a face perspective, the person must be already dead. You cannot take the face of a living person.
Correct.
So if we're going by what Melisandre states about the eyes, the green eyes, the brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes. Blue eyes checked off of Arya's list, which could be the Night King. Green eyes could be Cersei, and brown eyes could be Gregon or Gregor, the Mountain, be the next one. So if we're going for green eyes, if Jaime dies protecting Tyrion, Arya can now take his face.
That would be pretty sweet. Now that comes to the end of our episode. This was an amazing episode. Please go watch. Go watch it. And if you have not seen Lord of the Rings, please go watch the Battle of Helm's Deep and you'll understand what we're talking about. But with that said, that we're out of here.
Yep.